Supervisor.
This is the Music Supercast.
It's in my interest, in ours perhaps, for me to smoke a joint and calm down.
Hosted by Supergroup's Mary Prankster and lead music supervisor David Heyman. Recorded out of their Toronto and LA headquarters. Produced by Sorrel Sound and all vetted by me, Amani Sabri. Check out the Supercast blog at wearethesupergroup.com/MSC and don't forget to share.
I think I got my swagger back.
You know, I come from a simple pop world, you know, even if it's Burt Bacharach, you know, those are simple sounding songs. But if you try and sit down at a piano and play a Burt Bacharach song, like, you better come with some chops because that shit is hard.
Welcome back to the Music Supercast. Today on the podcast, I called Ben Cook at his home in Brooklyn, Toronto native, legend. Let's just say that. Guitar legend in this city. No Warning, Fucked Up, Marvelous Darlings, his own project, Young Gov, and his work with Blind Matty, James Matthew VII, and we've got Matty on the podcast coming up, so check out the show notes so you can get all the links to all the artists we're going to talk about, all the folks that he produces for. This is one prolific motherfucker, and I hope you appreciate this kind of music because this is the goodness. This is the stuff that's in my soul. This is, I guess you could call it stoner rock. I don't really want to define it. It's good music. It's got a nostalgic pastiche to it. It's beautiful, it's emotional, it's guitar based, it's rock based. It's right in that pocket for me and works great in film, of course. Have had a lot of success with his stuff recently for background cues and whatnot, but I absolutely would love to see this kind of a tone in an indie film all over the place. I really think it's the kind of stuff of magic, and we talk about the magic that goes into making a Young Gov album. His new release can be found on Bandcamp. We've got show notes, and check him out at Young Gov on Instagram. Check us out on Apple Music. Well, that's really what's so important these days. We need you to make comments, to review, to tell us what you think, and give us feedback. You can email me at yourbandsucks@wearethesupergroup.com. Tell us what you think of the show. Tell me what you hate, what you want changed. Maybe some guest suggestions. I'd love that. I love feedback. I just want to hear who's out there. We love doing the show. Big shouts to Amani for making the blog, for putting her ear on this thing, for vetting this whole thing, and Chad for editing it all together. Big love to everybody. So sit back and enjoy my little call-in with Ben Cook, Young Gov. Check him out on Instagram at Young Gov, Bandcamp, younggov.bandcamp.com, gov. Here we go. No one celebrates summer like a Canadian, right? You need to be an East Coaster to really get the power of summer. And I feel that in your stuff, you know? It's a Brooklyn album, but it feels fish out of water. It feels like Stranger in a Strange Land, discovering the world, discovering yourself, love.
That's pretty much what it is. I mean, I would never be like, I'm a Brooklyn-based artist. You know, I'm from Toronto. I'm a Canadian. I'm just, you know, blessed to be, you know, welcomed into some of the communities here and, you know, and some of the, you know, the punk and the hardcore scene and the people down here, like, hold it down pretty well for everyone. You know, a lot of people help each other out here, which is kind of what I was missing in Toronto world a little bit at times. You know, no disrespect to anyone in Toronto or that city. I do, like, obviously it's my home, but I had to get out to make something that was refreshing to me. But yeah, it's a Canadian record. I'm a Canadian guy.
There's a great behind the scenes photo of you making the album. Is there mostly friends and family making that stuff? Sort of the question is, like, are you sort of princing it and doing all the parts, or are people coming in and doing parts and you're kind of letting them be their great self? There's a moment in the video where you're playing the drums and you look real confident, and then someone else comes in and he's even better. And then, like, cut to, like, 2 minutes later, you're just in front of the system, like, micromanaging him.
That's pretty much how it works. I mean, that particular song, I kind of wanted an amateur vibe on the drums anyways. I wanted it to sound a little bit like, you know, Sarah Records, or like, you know, sure, some, like, old kind of, like, shitty Manchester 7-inch or something like that. So, like, I was trying my best to meet somewhere in the middle, but you know, I just wasn't. I'm never gonna be like, I'm only gonna try it once, and if I suck, someone else better can do it. That's pretty much how it works. Like, I'll pretty much play mostly everything on an album besides drums, and usually I'll try and get bass to be handled by a quote unquote real bass player. But you know, half of the bass is me. But I do like to hand it off to people, and I do like to take the kind of like producer's seat or like, you know, director's seat sometimes and just sit there and like, you know,
watch it all come together. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you get a sort of auteur vibe. How do you say it? Auteur. But you know, you're definitely at the helm in that studio making what you have. And it's like almost as if you have something in your head and it's just not coming out the way it needs to. He has it almost down, and then you're micromanaging, which I just thought was funny. It was cute. It was,
yeah,
a great little moment.
What it is.
It was real.
Sometimes when you don't have the guitar, you have a different perspective of when you do have the guitar, because you're concentrating on the technique more than the actual, like, you know, bigger picture. So, you know, more often I like to think of the bigger picture. It doesn't really matter who's playing the chords, but I also like to be like collaborative. And if someone had helped me written a song, or it's a co-write, and it's all like really close friends of mine that I've been, you know, grew up playing in No Warning with, who are like really talented songwriters in their own right. So like,
sure,
you know, if they're in the studio, I always love to have them play, like, without any of these really close team that I've always kept, you know, we always, you know, I help them with their stuff, they help them with mine. So it's super close. It's super family vibes. And like, I wouldn't have an album without, you know, Jesse on drums, Ryan on guitar, or Ryan on bass, and like Tony and Matt helping me kind of get the vision out, you know.
So are they the official Scuzz, or the Scuzz was a thing and now it's not a thing?
The Scuzz was just like a little, I don't know, I was trying to put together like a live ensemble at one point that kind of, you know, lasted about two shows in Toronto. But Ryan was always in it, Jesse was in it, Matt wasn't in the Scuzz, Tom from Tommy and the Commies was in the Scuzz.
Oh yeah, he's just saying
kind of
music.
Tom and Robin Hatch, who just dropped, like, who keeps dropping all these avant-garde, like, kind of classical, sure, songs. She's sick. Dennis P, who like is playing, we used to play with US Girls. I think he still is.
Best horn player in town.
Yeah, he's on my shit. He's always on my shit. You know, he's like,
yeah, I think he's touring with the Arkells now. Like, all,
yeah,
the time.
Yeah, yeah. Dennis P is just, I mean, he's always hooked it up. Even if it's just like, hey man, can I come over for 10 minutes and you just wail on a track? Like, I really don't have much money to pay you this time, but like, he's like, obviously, bro, come on, let's go.
You gotta love that about Toronto. There's some serious talent here.
Oh, it's amazing.
Fingertips,
it's incredible.
You know. And so, yeah, you know, connecting with someone like Harrison actually is when you kind of pop back into my head recently in like that sort of new modern paradigm. I've been doing a lot of pop shows as a music supervisor, and it's almost like I would make the movie your music fits around, but I work on so much stuff that is more Harrison-esque. You know, it's sexier,
right,
it's smoother. How did you meet, yeah, Harrison? How did that come about? That's one of my favorite tracks.
Yeah, I met Harry through, I was working with two girls from Toronto, and they were, their project at the time was called Bizarre. So it was, they were kind of like this, you know, very soulful kind of like,
yeah,
like neo soul type shit. And, I was just like super, you know, obsessed with their talent. It was right at the time when like the new wave, I guess that you could call it like the new wave of Toronto. Toronto was like changing its face. People were getting more like, you know, with the rise of Drake and all this shit, like, you know, people from, you know, all corners of the city are, you know, realizing that they have, you know, this talent, and they're getting more confident. So I was, you know, seeing that and wanting to, like, you know, help younger artists and, you know, push them to like learn Logic and, like, you know, just get it popping,
sure,
a little bit. So I was actually introduced to Harry through them, because they were, maybe unbeknownst to Harry at the time, they were like spitting over his beats from SoundCloud. And then I realized Harry was living like two blocks from where I grew up. He was an East Ender. He knew, like, you know, random people that I knew in Toronto. So I met Harry when he was like 17 and we like ate jerk chicken in Riverdale Park.
Wow. He literally was learning all that shit at that time.
Yeah. He was totally learning reason and doing like, yeah, he was like, you know, the guy can like, I mean, the guy learned how to build cars in one summer, like from YouTube. He's a fucking anomaly.
We had him on this podcast last year, actually.
Yeah. He's incredibly special human being, and like I'll always be in Harry's, you know, he'll always be in my heart, you know what I'm saying? I went to Asia with him as a pseudo tour manager, and you know, that's just, he's just been my boy ever since. And like I remember bringing him into the Last Gang office, maybe a little too early for them to want to actually sign him, but he was actually signed to Last Gang a couple years after that, so I was a little too ahead of the curve. So yeah, Harry's just, it's just amazing to see him do what he does in his own way. You know, he's not rushing any albums, he's not rushing any songs, he's sitting there, you know, being this kind of interesting musical figure in his own way, whether it's, you know, dropping little like bits and pieces on social media, just like, he's just cool, man. He's just like a cool guy.
I love that you recognize and support that outside of like a genre you think even a dude from Fucked Up would listen to.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm not like, I don't listen to punk or like hardcore. I just happen to come from it. You know, I'm really, sure. I'm into everything. You know, I can appreciate like a jazzy cat, like Harry.
The genre of good.
Exactly, man. I can appreciate mad shit. That's what music is about.
So Far From Home is the song with Harrison on Last Gang and E1. And I'm going to play a little drop from it. But your album, Young Gov, to go back to that for a sec, there hasn't been a placement on this album yet, just because I haven't got my stinky hands all over it quite yet to pitch the fuck out of it. I just did send it to an HBO's pilot that we're working on. So, and I put a big fucking spotlight on it. It was beautiful.
Dope.
Yeah, it was real nice. But, you know, you never know with these kind of things. We pitch, and when I pitch maybe 110 songs for a half hour pilot that I'm excited about, it's like, you know, the odds are definitely tough, and I recognize that. However, when you get something that works, you have experienced, or maybe secondhand experience, that there is a latching on. There's like a pouring rain that is promised from a music supervisor. I.e. Billions has used Fucked Up a couple times, if not three, four times, to end episodes, to be really hard. Were you songwriter on any of those tracks that were landed in Billions?
I can't remember which song. It could have been Baiting the Public, like an old song.
It was
Queen of Hearts.
Queen of Hearts was definitely one of them, because
I remember we were on Friday Night Lights or something like that.
And David Comes to Life at the end of something, but I can't find it. But I remember some series ending with that song, and I'm like, oh shit, this is the best thing ever. Of course, yeah. I can't
David
remember it.
David Comes to Life and Baiting the Public would have been before me, but any of the other ones, I'm on those records for sure. But yeah, it must be interesting being a music supervisor and pitching something like, you know, the Young Gov stuff, because like, you know, I you throw on Netflix or you throw on like, you know, modern TV shows, and you're gonna hear drum machines and maybe some synths and some like, you know, some patch beats and shit like that for the most part. So I commend anyone out there really using, or you know, looking for like outsider artists, or even trying to like, you know, incorporate some guitar music. And
yeah, I mean, we do it as a rule, frankly. Like, we are all about supporting artists and making real music get out there any way possible. Did you get that link I sent you about Awkward? Have you ever seen that clip?
No, what was that?
Ripe for Love was featured in Awkward, season 5, episode 11, The Graduates, an episode.
I remember that.
Yeah, I want half hour of my life back, but it's a fun beginning, I gotta say.
A rock and roll power pop band of mine called Marvelous Darlings was actually in King of the Road used it for about 3 or 4 seasons. That
Holy
Vice Skater
shit.
Show.
You were Marvelous Darlings, eh?
Yeah.
I didn't do enough research, brother.
It's all good.
I used to pitch the fuck out of you. Oh my God. Oh. Nothing like proper landed. Oh.
Well, we did get that King of the Road.
There so you go.
Every time they go to commercial, it would be our song, I Don't Want to Go to the Party. So
That's
we were
amazing.
Welcome to Future Opium Thing.
Yeah, it was cool, and it was like a cool show. And we were like, "Oh, damn! Like, it's just like this is something that you know, I see it on a plane or something, and I'd actually watch it. You know, it's like skaters being crazy. It's like,
right.
It was
and that's where we have the balance too. I've gotten to work with guys like Damon on shows like The Wrestlers and whatnot, but the money is unfortunately in network drama and big stuff. We love the HBOs, the Netflix that are pushing the envelope and trying to get stuff. That's where I think your stuff fits in. That's where I frankly think the Marvelous Darling stuff could still fit in.
Push it away. I mean, yeah, with the Young Gov album, I did basically like a 19 song record. So there's like, you know, there's everything from like some chill synth shit to like some yacht rock to like freaking like, you know, Big Star, Big Shiny Tune, Teenage Fan Club, Oasis type shit. So I don't know.
Absolutely. I've gravitated to using both. And again, it's like the idea of getting a director or producer to really, or showrunner, whatever, to really kind of fall for your stuff so they get how to use it, you know, pop off with one of the Teenage Fan Club things and then end off with one of the Elliott Smith kind of bats vibe, right?
Sure.
Really, really like use the same voice to bring that cohesiveness. So
yeah, I should send you the record that I did last year is called Too Sad to Funk, and it's kind of like oddities from my computer. It's basically all more electronic music. But
yeah, but the weirder the better, man. I mean, that's the stuff that stands out to me when I'm watching television.
Yeah, it's definitely weird pop made with a computer without any like live drums or anything. So that's been definitely pitchable for sure in the past.
I remember a good guy named Moran who was in the city. Do you remember this guy? He was pitching your music to me at some point.
What's his how do you pronounce his name? Miron. Yeah, Miron. So Miron used to have a little pitch thing, and he would hit me up on now and then and be like, "Hey, if you're releasing anything new." I can't. Yeah, he was definitely linking up some of the fucked up music.
And now how would someone get to your stuff? Is that more established? I mean, I just kind of reached out on I think Facebook. I said, "Who the hell knows?" Derek Downham said, "I'll get you in touch with him in 2 seconds." I waited 4 days, and Ben Chan got in touch with you for 5 minutes later, you know?
I don't really deal with anyone official or anything like that. It's more just like, you know, I'm pretty easy to find on social media. If anyone ever, you know, hears my music on any, you know, in their, where they're getting their latte and want to reach out, it's pretty...
Well, we're hoping on this random podcast, we have some listeners. So we'll put, you know, links for the music supervisors at the bottom. Ways to, you know, get to your Bandcamp and get to you, you know, Facebook, I imagine, or whatever. Really, that's
I don't have a Facebook, but it would be a quick DM on Twitter or Instagram, and
there you go.
I'll hit you right back.
There you go. Have you taken yourself and your band off Facebook, or is it just a personal thing?
I never, like, No Warning has one, but I have a personal page. I have a personal account still that I use for the Messenger, but it's just, you know, one or two social media accounts is enough for me. And, you know, I look at Facebook a couple times, you know, a month or something, make sure I'm not missing anything. But
yeah. And so with all due respect, like, how does somebody find all those beautiful Matthew James songs? Like the stuff you did with Blind Maddie, I think is fucking like amongst your best work, which is almost rando. So if you don't share it or discover it, you know, so how does social media play into that?
With the James Matthew 7 collaboration?
Well, I mean, there's a bit of a machine, a push right now for the Young Gov new stuff, but I'm imploring everyone to listen to Dive Deep, go to the Spotify, that's there. But, you know, it's an opportunity. Social media is an opportunity to share music. Any feelings about that, or you just would rather your fans, quote-unquote, discover your stuff?
We try and you know, we use our Instagram accounts and our Twitter accounts to post about them as much as we can, you know. Like, I think you're talking about the James Matthew 7 collaboration that I did with him, where we just kind of self-released that. outside of our, you know, contracts with our labels for our solo projects. And yeah, it's kind of more of, it's like, if you're into our, you know, if you find out, if you find Young Gov, if you like Gov 1 and Gov 2 and you're on my page, you're going to see that a James Matthew 7 Young Gov collaboration EP somewhere on there. And it's called Bloom. It's that, I mean, I would agree. It's some, it's a really special record that Matt had kind of finished all the instrumentals too in a house in Canada while he was kind of locked away doing his thing.
Big Pink, Let It Bleed vibe, you know?
Yeah, he came down with these beautiful instrumentals, and then we sat in my apartment in Brooklyn, and we just kind of really went in on the melodies and the, and you know, it was the first time Matt and I had ever sang together on a record, so literally every single melody on that is harmonized between us. So yeah, we went in on the lyrics together. We were basically writing to these beautiful instrumentals, and although it was a bit of a mind fuck, you know, just because we knew how quality we wanted to make that, that music and how like
it's
mellow
quieter,
and beautiful.
Yeah,
it's quieter. It's really beautiful. And it's like really, you know, very precise. And like, I don't know, something like that is really meaningful when it's like, when it's super barren and like really just like that kind of vibe, it just needs to be like perfect. So we just, we did sessions that left me feeling exhausted, just because, you know, when it comes to the vocal, when it comes to the vocal arranging and the lyrics and stuff like that, like I take it probably more seriously than I should, you know. I drive myself insane making sure every single line is to me to what I would want to hear.
And that's a Young Gov rule, or working with Matthew specifically?
That's a rule if I'm on any type of, you know, session. You know, I just released, I just got a co-write and a production on a new artist called Sedona from Brooklyn, who kind of found me on social media and was like, hey, do you want to do a song with me? And I met her, and she was like, I was like, oh, this person's amazing. Like, she's cool as hell. Like, we just released this track called More Love, which is like, you know, getting all the fresh, fine views on Spotify. It's just got picked up by H&M, and it's like, similar thing, you know. We brought Maddie in, Tony was in on the production, and we just like made it instrumental. But when it came to the vocal arranging, it's like, okay, this needs to be like, these lyrics and these melodies just need to be like on par with what, you know, our perfection, the perfect pop, you know, vibes for the instrumental. And that's, I don't know. It's
kind and that's of someone like, you met in Brooklyn. That's not like a major label setup. This is a product of you being out there.
Yeah. This is just her literally hearing a song I did for Aurora Shields, another, you know, young new Toronto artist who I, you know, work with quite often. We had a song called Only You Can Make Me Blue, which kind of did pretty well on the streaming things. Just, I don't know why we didn't hustle it. We didn't do anything. It just like some algorithm, you know, enjoyed it and it got on all these playlists. Sure. So, I mean, that being said, it's a freaking banger. So Sedona heard that in a cafe. She hit us up on social media, was like, I love what you're doing. I know what you're doing. You're like referencing Jam and Lewis. You're referencing like, you know, fucking Alexander O'Neill. You're referencing all this like glimmering 80s, like funky pop that I love. And I was like, wow, you really nailed it. She came to a DJ night me and Tony were doing. We hit it off, and then, you know, took a few months to figure out which song was going to be the one. And, you know, and now it's taking the same route as the, you know, as the Aurora song. It's like getting all these nice placements and stuff like that. Yeah. It's just like a natural thing. Like, I don't know if I would be like the perfect person to put in a room with some like super corny modern, no disrespect, you know, like modern pop artists.
No disrespect at all. And that's not who Harrison is. I'm on Champagne Poopy _ Poopy, which is Sedona right now. And you know, it's definitely just like a little step outside of your sonic world, but everything mm-hmm. else is right inside the same wheelhouse, the same sandbox.
Totally.
To go back.
Yeah,
to
it's like
saying.
It's just like a boogie. It's just like a Madonna boogie funky pop track. You know?
Totally.
And it's like it's just what we want to hear, and like it's like. Yeah, I mean, like, that's what pop is to me. It's, like, it's something that's going to sound like, you know, a baby wrote it. And it's, like, something that, like, I mean, someone just tweeted at me, my baby falls asleep when I put on Gov 2. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but, like, it just relates. I don't know. It kind of struck me. It was, like, I love that because it's just, like, a simple.
Yeah.
It's simple music, and it's, like, where I come from. It's, like, it's whether it's the Ramones or Nirvana. It's, like. I'm always going to come from where I come from. And it's not like, I'm never going to like deny that, you know, I come from a simple pop world, you know, even if it's Burt Bacharach, you know, those are simple sounding songs. But if you try and sit down at a piano and play a Burt Bacharach song, like you better come with some chops because that shit is hard. You know what I mean? And it's like,
I'm with you.
That's where I'm coming from. And like, you know, similar to like the Bloom James Matthew 7 collabo record that we did, like that is when you hear it, it's very simple sounding melodies and the chords aren't that, you know, crazy, but we overcomplicated the shit out of those sessions vocally and only to make it sound
treatment.
Exactly. We wanted to make it exactly that, you know, Beach Boys by way of, you know, Brooklyn, but, you know, in like some stoner Neil Young, you know,
lens filter thing.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
Got
lens
it,
filter. That's what
it.
I was trying to do. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, I mean, I totally agree with how, you know, the most simple sound sounding things can come from these complicated plans and minds and ways of going about things. You know, I'm always so curious how people work and like, you know, if people are just, you know, I know people who just hate themselves their entire creative process and then finally get to a place where they're kind of don't want to hate themselves just a little bit, and then that's the finished product, you know what I mean? And it's like,
for sure.
That's not me, but you know, with Young Gov music it sounds very simple but it's very intricate. You know, if you're gonna like, if you want to rehearse with me and you, we get, everything has to be like precise, you know, it's like,
Ben, that's why we love you, man. I mean, from afar, as a guy that's never met you, that's why I've always admired you. I've always admired you because, you know, seemingly you're an ordinary guy, Ben Cook. It's
yeah.
very unassuming. And you, I'm sure, feel like a normal dude, but you are quite extraordinary, my friend. And you have.
Well, thanks, man.
Yeah, man.
I don't know,
I mean,
about that, but.
Well,
I
it goes without
it
saying
I...
for artists, especially someone like myself who's not in the game. I don't have a band. I'm not trying to one up anybody. I'm trying to lovingly use music and the music that's kind of gifted to this world by people like you who have dedicated their lives to making something special. And you've done that four different ways, at least. But like, Marvelous Darlings is blowing my mind. Like, I. Not only loved pitching that stuff, I loved pitching it and them not picking it, if that means anything, and I'm sorry.
Right. No.
But on some level, I feel like, oh, they don't get me. I'm cooler than that, you know? And what is cool is not some band that's, you know, whatever, got some kind of testosterone, guar, whatever, fucking scares you, right? It's Ben Cook. It's just very unassuming, and it can go a different way. It's a bunch of chameleon stuff. I love what you do because of that.
Thanks, man. Well, sometimes I wish that I could be a little, I mean, this might sound like I'm being a dick, but maybe if my stuff was a little bit more palatable for the modern world, it would mean more, but you know, I can't force that. And like, you know, Marvelous Darlings was another project between me and Matt. I'm blessed to be working with such an alien and creative mind like him. But no, I appreciate you.
Well,
you
it's our
saying,
job
saying
it's,
those
it's,
things.
It's whoever supervised like Awkward that put your song in there, right?
Yeah,
for love.
I mean,
like that's
for,
great.
For artists like us out here, it's a war zone to daily to like figure out how to continue and to continue to create, to have a like happily and like be able to eat and pay rent and stuff like that. So for you to recognize that and us, we can't, you know, I thank you on behalf of everyone from my world, for people like you, you know, trying to help make artists money, who, you know, it's a crazy world.
You're also pushing the envelope and retaining like this honesty to the craft and honesty to the roots of the music, which, you know, goes deeper than yacht rock. It goes right into the blues, and it goes into, like, you know, music that freed up a lot of minds and changed the way the world was with segregation. The blues and rock and roll changed that. And we're seeing that, the multicultural pastiche of Toronto, in something like your, you know, Harrison song, and working with Bizarre and all that stuff. So it's absolutely beautiful on a bunch of levels, man.
Thank you, man. Yeah, I appreciate that.
So one last note before we go. Where can we find the tunes?
All the tunes should be on the Overlord, Spotify, and Apple's. You know, Bandcamp is also an option. If anybody wants to, you know, keep up with us, you know, we have Young Gov is the Instagram. I release most things with a close friend of mine who helps co-produce everything, called Tony Price. He's the Maximum Exposure on Instagram. Probably the best Instagram account in the world for content and visual inspiration. There's a lot of people following him who are ripping off his stuff, and that's fine.
Hey man,
Maddie's Instagram is James Matthew 7. He has a record coming out on the Canadian label ID Fix, who's, like, you know, they released Jennifer Castle and all that cool stuff. Fiverr. So yeah, I mean, it's been a cool time, and, you know, if anybody wants to reach out, you know, we're not hiding. We're out here.
Ben, love it, man. I love all the projects and all the friends, and I hope our paths cross on a sink very soon, buddy.
Thank you, man. I hope so too, but if not, it's all good.
It'll happen. I'll put my money.
It always does. Something always comes up.
Hey man, this is the long game, you know? That's why I do love Music Supervision. This, just around the corner is a cooler film, around the corner is another moment to make somebody feel. And you've just given me a lot of paint to work with, so I appreciate that, especially with this new release, man. 19 songs.
Thank you, man.
That's
19 songs.
That's a big, big can of paint. I'm really excited.
I believe in the path, and I believe in the unpainted wall.
So what song should we go out with? Every Flower I See Feels Right to Me.
Yeah, bop that one.
All right. Thanks, Ben. Have a good one.
I remember everything, but Music Supercast is a production of Sorrel Studios and distributed by the Sound Off Media Company.